Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are still in the Easter season, and it is proper to rejoice. I was asked this past week to watch the TV series AD the Bible Continues and to give a critique or a brief look at it. And if you've been watching the series, then our text for today really didn't make a lot of sense to you. You see, in the events of today's text, that according to the TV series, The Bible Continues, the disciples were in the room with the doors locked and the windows shut, as the text actually leads us to believe. But they were arguing with one another whether they should leave Jerusalem and go back to Galilee themselves, while worrying about how they're going to avoid the Roman soldiers on their trek out of Jerusalem, because apparently they've now become wanted men. Contrary to the Bible, which tells us that Jesus had appeared to the women on their way back from the tomb and told them, from Matthew 28:10, then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. See, it wasn't Peter's idea or John's idea, or as everything seems to be in the AD Bible Continues, Mary's idea. But it was Jesus' idea. In the series, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the first to remind the disciples that Jesus had promised to rise on the third day. And while the producer just seemed to gloss over the whole events of the women heading to the tomb to anoint a dead body, because according to the series, all the women had come to proper faith in the third day resurrection, and Peter himself was starting to come around seeing, well, at least I owe him 3 days. Totally missing the whole point that Mary, his own mother, had come to Jesus earlier in his ministry thinking he was out of his mind with his brothers and sisters. This picture of ever faithful Mary is absurdity, and it's to placate and pacify our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Roman Catholic Church, I believe. But the most grievous error they made in the TV series was one to placate their Jewish viewers and their Muslim viewers. It was based on last week's gospel reading when Thomas arrives, which is kind of weird with the lectionary, I know. Last week we have Thomas a week after the resurrection, which is actually a week after the resurrection. And now this week we go back in time to the day of the resurrection, but it's the way it's set up. But if you watch the series in the second part, Thomas comes upon the Lord as the Lord appears again once in the room, and he comes to Jesus and he touches him and he says, "My Lord." But there's a huge omission there. What does Thomas say? "My Lord and my God." But if he confesses that on the series, now we have upset Muslims who might riot and maybe even force whatever production company was doing this to release their emails against their will. And we have Jewish viewers who are going to turn it off, apparently, at that point. So rather than stick with the scriptures, it continues to twist and change and add and do all kinds of things. And while the series is not evil, I'm not saying it's the devil's work, just understand that while the stories might be plausible, they are not biblical, okay? And our faith is not based on plausible, but based on the Word of God. You remember in the series that after Jesus had risen from the dead and the disciples were heading to hide out, Peter and John having to hide away because the Romans might catch them, the zealots came to Peter and tried to recruit Peter and the other disciples to join them in their merry band with Luke Skywalker to fight the Roman rebellion. I was just checking to see if you were listening, and maybe I caught you asleep, so we'll see if we can wake you up. But you see, Even little details in the series they seem to find insignificant. Such things as when he appeared in the upper room on this night, the text clearly says when they gave him something to eat, it was what? Broiled fish. In the series, he went over, grabbed a piece of bread, broke it, almost as if he was going to institute the Lord's Supper again. And then he took a bite out of it like a man who had never eaten anything on the face of the planet. It's really kind of sad. Unlike A.D., the Bible continues, according to our four Gospels, there are five appearances of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that first Easter Sunday. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, as John records and Mark records in John 20 and Mark 16. Then the other women, as they ran to tell the disciples, Matthew 28, verse 9. Then to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, 13 through 35. To Simon Peter alone, Luke 24, 34. And finally, our text today, where Jesus appears to the whole group of the disciples, and those who had gathered with them, minus, of course, Thomas and Judas, because Judas, well, he kind of hung himself. That they got right in the series. At least they didn't have him running into a herd of buffalo or something. It's very important for you to understand this, though. It's very important for all of us to understand that the gospel accounts are eyewitness testimonies, not stories, fables, and myths, things that we can change at our whim. These, because they are eyewitness testimonies, they give us assurance of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Jesus there that evening is no ghost. He's no mass hallucination. The appearance of Jesus dispels fears, the disciples' fears, and our own today fears. Jesus comes into their midst and he says what? Peace to you. That's kind of nice. Our flesh would respond to that though. Nice try, but I'm going to need just a little bit more. So Jesus says, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. So we look upon Jesus through the eyes of the disciples, and we see his pierced hands, his feet, and his side. But instead of being horrified at the grotesquely mangled spots on his body, we find peace there. We see proof that sin's penalty, death, has been paid in full. The marks on Jesus' hands, feet, side, and even his head from the crown of thorns declare to all who have faith, to all who believe, that we now have our God-given victory over sin, death, and the devil. And if touching and seeing aren't proof enough, Jesus asks, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him some broiled fish. This is undeniable proof that Jesus is our resurrected Lord and Savior, who comes offering peace and relief to those who are in the throes of mourning his horrifying death on the cross. Just as today his resurrection and presence in and through his holy word and sacraments offer us peace through the forgiveness of our sins. The resurrection of Jesus offers peace. Peace to you. Remember, very importantly, about the words of Jesus, that the words that Jesus speaks are creative words. This peace is the opposite of what Jesus' death brought. What Jesus' death brought was confusion and fear and terror. The night of Jesus' betrayal, the disciples and Peter, they fled for fear and sorrow. Even in the morning at the resurrection, the Roman soldiers, they saw the angel roll the stone away and they were filled with fear and fell down like dead men. The women left the empty tomb in fear. Even now in our text, the disciples are together for fear not of the Romans, but of the Jews. Odd how the TV series wanted to avoid that one as well. Today our lives are filled with all kinds of fears. thanks be to God, most of them have nothing to do with somebody wanting us dead. Most of our fears are, well, common everyday type fears, but they're all fears that are below fears, it seems. Fears about money, the cost of living, the need for employment, the way our children behave, the news from the doctor, the loss of a loved one. All of these and more can make us fear and feel as if God has forsaken us. And for times such as these, we are called to repent. Just as Peter called those people in the book of Acts to repent. We are called to repent and know that our Father in heaven will never forsake us. He has promised this. Even death on a cross couldn't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, it's there at the cross where we see the height of God's love for all of us as He allows His only begotten Son to take our punishment, to allow Him who knew no sin to become sin for us. This is why the resurrected Lord can say to you, as He said to the disciples, "Peace to you." This is no stab you in the back later, false friendly word from the world. What Jesus offers is His blood-bought peace that passes all of our human understanding. In Jesus, we who deserve nothing but death and damnation now have peace with God. Knowing our doubts and fears, Jesus treats us like His disciples as He comes personally to us, saying, "Peace to you." Did you hear it today? Pastor Rafa had the privilege of saying it today. He gave you the words of absolution. Your sins are forgiven. That's just another way of saying peace to you, because the declaration of the forgiveness of your sins is that which makes you and God reconciled. Your sins, my sins, they're all forgiven. This is what Jesus offers us, peace. To ensure us that this peace is proclaimed throughout time and to all the nations, Jesus opened the minds of the disciples to understand the scriptures, as the text says. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This gift is given through faith alone, as we are given eyes that see through our ears, as we see Jesus where He has promised to be, in His holy and inspired word, in the washing and renewing of holy baptism, and in His holy supper, where He gives you His very body and His very blood into your mouth for the forgiveness of your sins. In our hearing today, Jesus makes you and I eyewitnesses. We are witnesses of these things, and we too have been sent. Sent with the promise of the Father upon us. We don't have to wait for Pentecost to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. God took care of that when we were baptized. He marked us as His own, declared us, adopted us, called us by name. There He made us His children, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. The authority of Jesus to fulfill His promise comes from who He is, not from what He says. He is true God and true man. Jesus is of the nature of the I Am of the Old Testament, the same I Am standing in the midst of the disciples that first Easter evening, the same I Am who comes to us today through word and sacrament. God is always present with His people. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Just as He promised, and not even a death on a Roman cross could enable Him to forsake us. No, instead, all this happened to fulfill everything that was written about Jesus in the Law of Moses and the Prophets and the Psalms. Christians today are now filled with the same power from on high as the disciples, as the Holy Spirit works through the means of grace, the Word, and the sacraments. The gift of the Spirit brings is faith that sees, hears, and receives Jesus' peace where He has promised it would be. In His Word. In His Word joined to water. And in His Word and promise joined to bread and wine. And when we are joined to Jesus through faith, we receive His gifts of forgiveness and eternal life. This is the peace that Jesus offers to us now and for all eternity. So Jesus says to you again today, peace to you. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.